God, amen? He loves you. Can you say that with me? He loves you. Just a closer walk. Can you have that prayer?
Still on the road, yeah. Oh, good.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. Ever and ever and ever and ever. Power and glory. You're going to be in paradise with God forever and ever. Give him praise. I love that. When you're 17, you don't think about things like that. But you know, we got a promise. And the promise is forever and ever and ever and ever. And I claim that promise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jude is here tonight. He was at the Bible study. He was in Pennsylvania last week. He walked the fields of Gettysburg. Can you imagine the emotions and the things that he saw in the places and the people who were there sacrificing everything they had for people that they'll never meet and never know? Isn't that? That's God, amen? When you give your life to somebody you're never going to meet and they don't even know who you are and you don't know who they are, but you're there fighting for them. Isn't that amazing? And he was right there on the fields of Gettysburg. That was just amazing. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Responsive reading. Let's see what Marilyn has picked up. How many know that Marilyn does the bulletin? I love it. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, ooh, whose sin is covered. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You are my hiding place, Lord. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Days when it's the hardest is when you're closest to God. When you feel like you can't control it, you can't fix it, you can't anything, God is saying, good, now I got you out of my way, I can take care of that. Have that faith, claim that faith, pray to God, and just trust him, and go on doing the things you can do the rest of the day for yourself and for other people. You'll see how God works through. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Beautiful things to go by. And if you don't know them, well, you're just missing out, amen? I meet people who never read the Bible and say, that's great, but you're missing out. Like you went and sat at a dinner that had, you know, 11 courses, and you had some salad, you had some soup, and then you left. You missed out. It was there for you all the time. All you had to do was pick up a fork and start eating. This is the closest connection you have to God. This is it, right here, this book. This book. Y'all bring it to Bible. Y'all bring your Bible to church today? I know we don't always read from the Bible. We're going to do Romans today in a minute, so you might want to. According to Isaiah, how does the Lord say he will destroy Egypt? Isaiah, I think Jim said you were studying little Isaiah, right? According to Isaiah, how does the Lord say he will destroy Egypt? By plague, by civil war, or by famine? How will the Lord destroy Egypt? How many think with a plague? Anybody plague? How about civil war? We get any civil wars? How about a famine? We get a famine? Walter, did you pick one? Three.
Picked all three.
According to Isaiah, how does the Lord say he will destroy Egypt? Egyptian against Egyptian. A civil war. About the destruction of Egypt. What did he do? As a sign. A sign and a wonder. As a sign. What did Isaiah do? Did he sacrifice two bulls on an altar? Did he fast for 40 days? Or did he walk around naked? What did Isaiah do as a sign about the destruction of Egypt? How many think he sacrificed two bulls on an altar? Anybody? How about fasted for 40 days? We got that. How How about walk around naked?
Did he do all three?
No. As a sign and a wonder and a prophecy to the Egyptians, Isaiah walked around naked. To show them how naked they will be when the Lord leaves them. He walked around naked, and the Bible says he was naked right in the back end there too. But he showed them, you're Egyptians, you're going to be naked without me. You're going to be exposed completely without me.
God
has a there you go. I could never make stuff up like that.
Naked and free.
There you go. What did Jesus have against the church of Ephesus? I like the first three books of Revelation because they talk about the seven churches and you learn a lot how to build churches and how to be stronger. So what did Jesus have against the church of Ephesus? They left their first love. They were lukewarm or sexual sins in their midst. What did Jesus have against the church of Ephesus according to Revelation 2? That they left their first love. Anybody? That they were lukewarm. That the sexual sins in their midst. Lily, come to the answer. They left their first love. They left God. I got one more. Okay, I want to just say this. We've had three questions. One was an A, one was a B, and one was a C. For those of you that haven't been in Bible study, I found out that the church counts that, sir. They count. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they count A, B, and C. And they said, well, if two A's and one B, this has to be. Now that you know that, we had 1A, 1B, and 1C. Where's David? What reward did Jesus promise the church at Philadelphia, according to Revelation 3? What reward? The crown of life? They would be kept from the hour of temptation coming upon the world, or they could eat from the tree of life. Wow. What reward did Jesus promise the church at Philadelphia? How many think the crown of life? They say the crown of life? And how about they will be kept from the hour of temptation coming upon the world? How about that they can eat from the tree of life? Praise God. This is Revelation 3. Jesus promised that they will be kept from the hour of temptation coming upon the world.
Wow.
Amen. You say, well, you know, these quizzes are pretty interesting, but they're Bible quizzes. Eh? So you might not know them and you might remember them or something might interest you to want to look it up. But it's all about the Bible. And the more you know about the Bible, the more you know about God. Isn't that a good thing? Here's Dave. Hey, Dave. Everybody say hello, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
It's not his birthday.
Not yet.
We didn't sing happy birthday to Andre yet, so make sure I don't leave Maryland before we do that. Are y'all ready? Got some time for me right now because I have a message from you, and I'm excited about this message. I say that every Sunday because I am. The book of Romans. Anybody remember? Romans is the first book after Acts. Paul wrote it. Let me say that. Paul wrote it. No. It was written in Corinth. Paul had not even been to Rome yet, but this was important to him. He hadn't even been to Rome yet, and he writes this letter to the Romans. Hadn't even been there, but it was important to him. Most letters Paul wrote focused on the church, its challenges and problems. Let me say that again. Most of the letters that Paul writes are about churches and their problems and and the challenges. Romans is focused on God. Focused on who?
God.
His plan for redemption, the book of Romans. God is the most important word in the book of Romans. 153 times the word God has appeared in the book of Romans. Christ is 65 times and the Lord 43 times. All in the book of Romans. One book. And Romans 1, verse 1. And I think that it's the most important word is God. And that's what he was writing about. And that's what he tells us about. His focus is on God. And it's just amazing. So we get Romans, and it says, Romans 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Stop right there. Paul says, to the gospel of God. Paul's a bondservant. What is that? He's a servant of God. He's a messenger. Say that with me, could you? Messenger. He's a messenger from who?
God.
Yeah. To the good news of God, the gospel. He said that. Paul, a bondservant, I'm a messenger, a called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, the gospel of God, the good news, amen? That's the good news. That's what he's did. And to the good news of God, he says to you today in Romans, I have a message for you. From whom, church?
God.
You got it. Okay, you're with me. Let's go. Which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let's stop right there for wait a minute. So it said, Paul's a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Paul is saying to you today, I didn't make this up. This lie, I didn't make it up. It's not my idea. These are not my thoughts. That's what he's saying to you already. I have a message given to me by God to give to you. That's what he's saying. For you in Rome, also for you in Jerusalem, and for you in the world. That's why he's going to read this letter. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And Matthew 7:24 says, it's in your bulletin, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So he's talking about the word of God. Matthew's talking about the word of God. Paul is talking about God. Anyone who hears these words that we're talking about. So hallelujah. He says, this is not a new message. Paul is telling you right there, this is something that was promised through the prophets. He said, this is not a new message, not a new story. He said, the prophets have told us it is about Jesus, about the Son of God. It's not about morality, about being good. It's about one person. He's writing about one person. That person is Jesus. Amen? And then go on to let's read it again all the way to 5. He said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Okay, he's a messenger, and he's talking about the good news of God. He's called to be an apostle, and which God promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scripture. Okay, that's good, because Paul is saying, I didn't make this up. This isn't anything new. And concerning the Son of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then he says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. How many nations?
All.
Okay, so let's stop right there. Not a new message, we figured that out, and something the prophet said about Jesus, the Son of God. Resurrected to life from death. Through him we have received grace and what? Apostleship. Okay, what does that mean? You have an invitation, an open door to enter through faith. Can you say that with me? Through faith. You're entering the door through faith. We are called by God. You are called by God. Hallelujah. You are. Isn't that? That'd be a great message today. You're called by God. And give them cheers. Stand up and claim it. You're called by God. You, me, because you're believers, you're called by God. You gave your heart and he called you and you accepted it. And it's big enough and great enough for how many nations? The whole world, right? That's what he says right there. That's what he's, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. All nations. Among also, you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You, Jim, called by Jesus Christ. You, he knows you. He called you. Everybody knows you. Hallelujah, church. That's reason to be excited. God has called you. Wow. Right, Gene? Come on. He's called you. Romans. You might not have heard this expression before, but Romans is Paul's masterpiece. Anybody that's written music, they always have that one song. Anybody that's ever painted paintings and Da Vinci, and they have one masterpiece. One thing that they did was beyond everything else. Everything was great. But this is Paul's masterpiece. This is his letter of letters because he's writing about God, and he's pouring on it. I'm going to tell you later. He's pouring his heart out to you. He's begging you to read it, to learn it, to understand what he's telling you. There's something I pray that you receive at the end of this sermon that you didn't understand before that just makes you crazy happy inside yourself. Because when you're happy inside yourself, it shows out. When you have peace, it shows out. When you smile, it shows out. When you're kind, people notice it. Amen? They notice your spirit, and they can't help but respond to that. Trust me, there's plenty of complainers in the world. Amen? Thank you, Lord. It's more than a simple letter with a few chapters. To read it, listen to me, to read it straight through, if you said, okay, Pastor, I'm going to go home and read Romans. No, no, don't do that. To read it straight through without thought or pause can be compared to this. Listen, anybody go looking for foliage. You go in the car and you drive into New Hampshire and you look at the foliage. And you get out of the car and you see a tree all gold and yellow. And you say, okay, I've seen enough. Get back in the car and go home. What did you miss besides everything? If you read this book front to back, okay, I'm going to go home. And you don't give it thought, you don't give it your heart, you're going to miss so much. You're going to miss God's hand. You're going to miss hearing God's voice. Understand what I'm saying to you. If you take Romans, we just dissected five lines. And we're right at the fifth line. We're not beyond that yet. If you didn't dissect it, you wouldn't understand that you're called by God. That should be enough for you to stop and walk around the house and say, I'm called by God. Not with pride and ego, but with love. And say, I'm called by God. Hallelujah. You're just saying, and he walks with me and he talks with me. That's God. Talking to who? You. We're called by God. If you read it front to back without stopping, and you'd be like looking at one tree and saying, you saw all the foliage, you need to see all the beauty, when you miss everything else that God has for you. The leaves blowing in the wind, the colors and the trees moving, and all the things that you can see. The sunlight through. Yeah, anybody ever see sunlight through the white birches, right, Brother John? The white birch, those trees are so beautiful in the fall, and the sunlight makes it look brighter than it is, even when it's not. It's amazing what God can do. But if you just fly through it, you miss his hand. When you fly through the book, you miss his voice. Understand that. This book. Martin Luther said, Romans is the absolute epitome of the gospel. So I looked up the word epitome, because I think I know what it means, but I really... The word epitome means perfect example. So let's read it that way. Martin Luther says, the absolute perfect example of the gospel. He knew the Bible, amen? He also, John Calvin, anybody hear that name? He said, listen, he who understands this letter has a passage open to him to understanding the whole scripture. That's what John Calvin said. You understand Romans. You get in there and you dig through it. Then your understanding for the rest of the scriptures is opened up. Praise the Lord. I love this next one. I don't even know who the guy is. But Samuel Coleridge, he's an English poet. Anybody ever heard that name in poetry? He said, the most profound work in existence, the book of Romans. Zippy, the book of Romans in the Bible, the one book. Life-changing truth takes time and effort and determination to understand. Amen, right? What the Holy Spirit said through Paul, and I wrote this, what the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul, because you know this is the living word, right? We call the Bible what? The living word. This Bible is alive. It's as well today, and you can grab onto this and learn from that. And Paul is saying it's life-changing. It takes a little time and effort and determination to understand, but you want to understand that Holy Spirit. We sang this song earlier. Holy Spirit lives inside of me, lives inside of you, and you, Jim, and you, Gene, and Walter, Marilyn, Chuck. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You want to understand that. You don't want to just claim it. You want to know and who he is and why. See, Romans can help you with that. So this is what I wrote. Read it or not. I'm up here preaching. I love this story today. I love what we're talking about. But I just say to you, read it or not. Enjoy it or not. Study it. Take it apart. Test it. With a heart to believe and learn. Or a heart set on finding fault. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Some people want to read the Bible and they want to find fault. They want to find contradictions. I say, go for it. Go for it. Because at least you're reading God's word. Remember they said, Paul said, I don't care how they're preaching Jesus as long as they're preaching Jesus. You see, you read the Bible and you read it with, you know, you go in there and you want to find something wrong with it. Good. That means you're reading the Bible. And that means you're studying and you have to turn pages and you have to look online and study things. So it doesn't matter why you're doing it. This book is about one thing. one thing, God, Jesus, this one, his words. This book we're reading and the book of Romans and your Bible is the closest connection to God that we have. You can go to any church, but this book is the connection to God, not the church. Any person you see on TV that you like to watch, that's great, he's good, but this book is the connection. They're reading from this book, or they should be reading from this book, and they should be telling you what's in this book, because that's the only connection to God. Once you start getting people with their own dreams and changing this and that, all of a sudden it's not from God. It's that simple. If I've ever said anything wrong, I ask God to forgive me. If I've made mistakes, I know that not in my sermon. Sometimes I get opinionated, but I'm talking about the Word of God now. If I lead you down the wrong trail, it's on me and God. So I pray that. It's the closest connection we have to God to understand the meaning of the expression justified by faith. Anybody ever hear that word, justified by faith? You say, what does that mean? Oh, we're going to get to that in a minute. Hang in there with me. And to understanding the meaning of that, and even more, what it means to have the Holy Spirit. I can't do that in one sermon, but I can start with living inside of you, God's Spirit. To accept him is great. Can I get an amen? You all accept God's Spirit. That's great. I think it's great. But to understand him is what? Greater. Understand what I'm saying to you. You've all accepted God. You're all beloved by God. He loves you and your family with God. But if you understood that, how much would that change? You know, you got my smartphone and John's smartphone. John's a wizard of wizards on the smartphone. And I got my smartphone. I can't even take pictures. So his understanding makes him learn so much more. Your understanding in the Bible is the same way. Your faith is the same way. To accept it is great. To understand it is even greater. You get it now? And Paul, again, Paul is pouring out his heart to you today. He did it back then. He's urging you. He's begging and pleading, encouraging us to believe and to know who? God. The book of Romans. And then he says 1:7. We're only at chapter verse 7. This is wonderful. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Romans 1:7. And if you read your Bible, how many notice the words are in italic? I tell you that all the time, but it's good to know. Some of the words are in italic. All that means is the translator put those words in italic there to make the sentence sound smoother, so a little more understanding. I don't necessarily think it always does, Jim. I don't know about you, but if you notice that, then you read it different. What that should read is, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, call saints. Uh-oh. He called who saints?
You.
To all who are in Rome, of God, to be called saints. Okay, so you read that, and you might say for a minute, Paul's never been to Rome. You said that before, Pastor. He was never been to Rome yet. So how does he know about all in Rome, beloved of God? Well, if you read Romans 16, he'll mention a whole lot of people that he knows are in Rome. He met them in the book of Acts. He met people giving his life, Jew and Gentile, and he knew that they lived in Rome. He had family living in Rome. That's one thing he knew. But he said, beloved of God. He said, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, because you're a believer, amen? He knew there were Christians in Rome, and if you're a Christian, you're what by God? Beloved. And what does beloved mean? I wrote that down. Precious. That means you're precious to God. So he's saying to all who are in Rome, precious of God, called to be saints. And I love this. This is going to be great. Don't get a big head. Now, Paul has never been there, but he knew there were believers there, Christians, Jew and Gentile. Romans 16, if you, and he had family there too. And he knows that if they are believers, they are beloved by God. And beloved means what? Precious. You are precious. Called saints. And I've had people get upset at me, and I said, well, we're all saints. And God's like, oh, that's not, no, it's right there. And you take out to be, and you're called saints. And this is the thing, this is how you explain it. It's not that we were saints, amen? Duh. But we have become saints through who? Jesus. Through the calling. He said it right there, calling. Jim Howe, you have a calling. You're called saint in heaven. You might not want to accept it. You might not think it's a big deal, but I do. I think it's a great deal that you're a saint in God. I think all of you are saints in God. When you see people, nobody can change that. Nobody can tell you. They can make you think you're not, but God said you have a calling. Paul is saying those who are called by God are saints. You look around and you're looking at a lot of saints. Are you looking at perfect people? No. Don't lie like that. You're looking at people that don't get angry at one another? No, don't lie like that. You're looking at people who don't get into God as much as others? No, it's not. You are a saint. He wrote this letter to you. Just because Rome, you're not in Rome, you're part of the family. Praise God. All right, here we go. Justified. What does justified mean? I mean, declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Declared or made righteous. Were you righteous? No, you were made righteous. In the sight of God. That means you are not guilty. Can you say that with me? Not guilty. You were accepted. Romans 3 said we're justified by faith. Okay, let's go. Righteous. You ever hear that? What is righteous? What does that mean? You're morally right. You're virtuous. You're worthy. How many are worthy to stand in the shadow of God? I mean, right? You would never want, you would, how many would raise your hand? And God is saying, what's wrong with you? I've made you worthy. You understand that? What's wrong with you? He's saying, I've made you worthy. My son died on the cross so you can be worthy. If I said, how many here are worthy to stand in the front of God? You all should raise your hands up really high. Because he made you that way. He made you righteous. And I'm going to show you. By faith. Now somebody might say, well, I don't have a lot of faith. Anybody ever hear that? Well, how much faith do you need? Okay. So what is faith? Complete trust or confidence in God, in Jesus. And how much faith do I need? All right, here we go. Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to each one a measure of what?
Faith.
Not that faith. We're glad we have that faith, but not faith. God has dealt you, to each one of you, a measure of what?
Faith.
So don't tell me you don't have it. You call God a liar. Ooh, I don't want to be in your place. He said, you have faith. Maybe you look and say, well, I don't have much faith. He said, okay. God's pretty cool like that. He's pretty cool like that. You know, you don't have much faith. No, I don't have a lot of faith. So Matthew 17 says, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move, and it will move power inside of you. Not from you, but God. So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you use that because that's the smallest seed. Lily, if you have that much faith in you, you've got great faith. To say, and I always read that. Anybody ever read that? Say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will move. And you always say, why would I want a mountain to move? Duh. How many got problems in their life? How many are fighting through a battle? How many are worried about things? Well, congratulations. There's the mountain. Use your faith to move it. I wish I could tell you that we should pray together because you should know that. But I should stir you up to believe when you pray. Move the mountain. Take your hand and move. You got a problem. We got problems. We've been waiting on years. You move the, that's the mountain. Yeah, look at it. Why would I want to move a mountain? No. People say that, though. Amen? So you say, I don't know how much faith I have. God's got that one. But you got faith the size of a mustard seed. You got to live. And he's already given you that faith. So you can tell me you don't have faith, and I got to call you a liar. I hate doing that. I love it. I tell somebody this morning, I hate confrontation. I love you all with all my heart. I don't want. And I'm saying, he said he gave you faith. Right, Sandy? Sandy Bush is here today. God, we love her. And the mountain that you're going to move, before you get a big head, you had nothing to do with moving the mountain. You believe, but who moved the mountain?
God.
That's what Paul is saying. You pray with faith, and he's going to move the mountain. You know, we pray that we're, you know, people go away, and they come back, and we say, we haven't seen him in 2 weeks, and we pray, and thank God. And, you know, that's not a small thing. When you start thanking God for those things, you start to see God in everything. I hope you do. I hope you do. I wish I knew this when I was younger. There's a lot of things I would not have done. or I would have done differently, or I would have treated people differently. That's just nature, amen? But if you know now what you know, and you just can hang on to this, then you're never alone, you're never without help, you're never anything. You know, we all get depressed, we all find those times. I'm sorry, but we all do because we're human. But the more you know about God, and the more you know about the Spirit, and the more you know about the Book of God and the Bible, takes that depression in a different direction. Amen. Thank you. Okay, so justified, righteous, powerful. Okay. All right, here we go. I got a couple more minutes. This is what I've been waiting for. You're going to come with me on a journey for a minute. Justified by faith. What does that mean? Okay. You have children? Anybody have children, grandchildren, loved ones? Okay. You are in your flesh. Your flesh. How many know your flesh and blood? How many know you're imperfect? Okay, you're all imperfect, right? Okay, good. You all have emotions. How many here made mistakes? Yet, inside of you, you have this great love and compassion to forgive. Think about this. Those that you love the most, I know my wife, I'm wondering to think about Max. Those that you love the most, and not your husband or your wife, but there's a difference with your kids. You ever get angry at them? But it doesn't change your love, amen? You ever get sad about something they did or something they said? Yeah, but you ever get worried? How about disappointed? Anybody ever been disappointed? You have a son, maybe your daughter. You get disappointed. Sometimes we're confused, yet? Amen? Yet, you, in your imperfections, maintain perfect love. Think about that, sir. Perfect love for your grandmother. Nothing she could ever say or do. You can find out that 25 years ago she robbed 16 banks in New York, and you couldn't care less because you love her. You would say, "Wow, Grandma, that was." But I love you. You don't care. If you found out tomorrow that the person that you love like that lied to you about anything, you would still love them. Your heart would be broken. You would be sad. You would all this stuff, but you would love them beyond nothing. Let me say that again. Nothing could shatter that. Love. They could have lied to you. They could have cheated. They could have been the worst person. I don't know what the worst person is. We've probably seen a lot of that. Yet you love them completely. Blemishes and all. Nothing can change that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Nothing, Chuck, can change how you feel about those people you love. And I'm not talking about a wife and a husband because that's different. You love them with all your heart, but the children. Amen? The grandchildren. People, there's people in your life. Wow. Any sin. Can you say that with me? Any sin. Would you still love them?
Yes.
Praise God. All right. Now come with me. Ready? Y'all ready? Now it's God's turn. What did Jesus do for us? Let us look up into heaven, into paradise. Come with me to the third heaven. Let's go up through here and through the stars and up to paradise. You come with me right now. God. Your flesh and blood. Your flesh against holy. God is holy of holies. Amen. Holy of holies. God sees every sin you've ever committed. He sees every blemish you have. He knows everything you've ever done. Everything. Everything. You're in heaven now with God. He's standing in front of you. And he knows every secret you have. Every secret you ever thought. He knows it. So I ask you this. What are your chances of getting in? When you're standing in front of the Holy of Holies and he's looking at you and you're looking at him and he knows everything you ever said, done, or gone, and done. I ask you, what are your chances? All right. So it says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God. We've all sinned and fall short. Ooh, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence, right? And it says in Psalms 51, David said, Lord, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Wow. What are his chances? Lord, I'm standing in front of God, and my knees are getting, and I'm just like. And Isaiah takes it even a step further. He calls us filthy rags. And you're filthy rags. And I was reading Charles Spurgeon. You don't want to know what he said about filthy rags. You think of the filthiest rag, and he had filthier rags. And he said he doesn't even like to preach it. But so you think of filthy rags, unclean, unclean things. We're full of sin. You are unworthy. I and you, we are unworthy. What are our chances? Why are you any different? Why is God in me? Why won't you accept? Listen to this. You stand in front of God. He knows all of those things. And you're standing there. All of a sudden you hear God say, ready? Not guilty. What? Not guilty. Come in. It says in John 14, because a righteous man stands in our place and prays for us. The judge says, not guilty. Justified by faith. No one can take that from you. No one. If you don't accept it, then I ask you why. Why would you want to give it to your children, but you won't accept it from God? You are not guilty. He knows every sin, everything you've done. He calls you in Isaiah filthy rags and unclean things. And you, in your flesh and your sinful nature, stand in front of God. I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm standing there and I got a gate behind him. I want to get in there. And I'm thinking there's just no way possible. And he says, my son was your lawyer. My son paid the price for your sin. My son covered your debt. Come on in. That is justified by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nobody, say that with me, nobody can take that from you. No church, no man, nobody can take what God has done for you away from you. Nobody. Nobody can tell you any different because that's what the Word says. You have to argue with the Word. Hallelujah. Justified by faith. God says, faith, you're not guilty. Those people you've been praying for that went ahead of you, we've been praying, and God said, come in. You're not guilty. We are still in the introduction to the book of Romans. Wow. It's his masterpiece given to you. Give God praise this morning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. How many?
Everyone.
For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of God as revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. Somebody else down here maybe wants to hold something against you, but God doesn't. Justified by faith. Wow. And we're only 7 lines into the book of Romans. Obviously, it would take forever to go through. So you might want to go home and read a little bit more. When you read it, just read it and stop. Just absorb whatever you read, put it away, and think about it, go back again. But praise the Lord. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus got whipped for you. He's the one that stands between you and God. You see, God was looking at you, but your lawyer was pretty good. All the price he paid and the burdens he carried for you, not guilty. And all you have to do is believe. Lord, take this. As he took the bread and blessed it, Jesus said, I'm going to be paying a price for you. But I do it out of my love for you. Do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Wow.
Jesus, the power of Jesus. Peace, love, compassion, forgiveness, caring, walking with us, knowing what we're going through. Saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hang on to that. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week, Lord. Cleanse us from our thoughts and our deeds, anything, Lord, that way may kept us in the shadows, Lord. Bring us out. You know everything, Lord. So we confess to you this morning. Forgive us so we can receive this together as a family in Christ in this church, Lord. I ask you to bless this church, Lord. I ask you to bless those in this church this morning, Lord. I ask you to bless them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Work on things that we're praying for even while we're here, Father. As we do that, we remember Jesus. He poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. He just wants you to do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. So people can be excited too for themselves. We take this offering, Lord, and we give it to you. The church gives it to you. Those givers give it to you to bless this church, Lord. I'm calling on you, Lord, to bless this church. Just preaching your word and preaching God and preaching Jesus to them. Thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
God bless America. Oceans, white with foam.